Christ is risen. Revelation chapter 1. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and death." These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. And dear fellow redeemed in Christ, there is a stark contrast between John's description of Jesus in the verses just preceding our text here, and the reason he falls down like he's dead, and the suffering Christ on Good Friday. On Friday, we heard of the man who was beaten, bloody from wounds on his head, his feet, and his hands. On Friday, Jesus prayed Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Included in that psalm is the phrase, the confession, "I am a worm and no man." But this one on the cross on Friday, the one who died and was buried that Friday, rose from the dead, a truth attested by over 500 people who saw Jesus alive after his resurrection. And in the words before our lesson, John described Jesus. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand 7 stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp, two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. It is no wonder that John fell at the feet of Jesus as one who was dead. The awesome display of Jesus in his glory was too much for John, as it would be for us all. Yet this is the very same Jesus who was on that cross on Friday. Then this glory was deliberately hidden, the power laid aside, his hands nailed to a cross with no stars shining from them. His countenance was then one of death, his life draining from his broken body. His mouth shaped the words, "I thirst," and "It is finished." Hardly words with the keen blade of a two-edged sword. The contrast is striking. Jesus was never not God during his physical life here on earth. He was always true God and true man. As true God, he lived that perfect life for us. As true man, he took our place so that his perfect keeping of the law is ours through faith in him. As true God, he suffered all the punishment sin deserves. As true man, he took the punishment we deserved. God made him who knew no sin to be our sin. The Apostle John learned what this meant as Jesus revealed to him his glory. First, John's fear is allayed by the word of Jesus, "Do not be afraid." The presence of Jesus is powerful and glorious and awe-inspiring. Yet John need not fear. Jesus did not come to condemn John, but to save. Jesus is the first and the last. He is the eternal Son of God. He went through his life to suffer for John's sake and for yours. The Eternal One came into our time to do what we cannot, save ourselves. Jesus is the one who lives. He is not dead. He did not stay in the grave after his death. He rose the third day according to the scriptures, according to God's word in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians, and so on and so on. Jesus' resurrection is at the heart of the message of God's revelation to you. Martin Luther summarized it in one of his stanzas of his Easter hymn. It was a strange and dreadful strife when life and death contended. The victory remained with life. The reign of death was ended. Holy Scripture plainly saith that death is swallowed up by death. In vain it rages o'er us. Alleluia. Jesus is alive forevermore. This speaks not only to the fact of Jesus, but to you. In baptism, you are connected to this Jesus, to his death, and to his resurrection. As he lives, so do you, and so will you eternally through faith in this one. And why is that? Because Jesus has the keys of Hades and death. These were the keys that Satan thought were his. These keys were the hope of Satan. He may even have had a glimmer of hope that he could keep them when Jesus died on that Friday. But if so, it would be only a fool's hope, the hope of one who ignored those other words of Jesus from the cross, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." Would Satan be so arrogant as to presume that the Father would leave his Holy One to corruption, as the psalmist had already foretold he would not do? Would Satan, who thought he knew so much about Scripture, be able to ignore those words of Psalm 16, words used also by Saints Peter and Paul, serving for them as a key text for their preaching of Jesus' resurrection? Well, Satan is that arrogant. And that arrogance permeates our human view of Jesus too, apart from hearing and believing his word. Paul, after he uses that Psalm 16 and some other texts, goes on to give a warning. "Beware, therefore, lest what has been spoken in the prophets come upon you. Behold, you despisers, marvel and perish." It is no little thing to reject the promise of God, and we are therefore forewarned as well. To you, Jesus says, "Do not be afraid. Jesus died and rose again for each of you. He knows your name. He desires your salvation and not your damnation. He desires to forgive and not condemn. And that is why the first and the last died on that wooden cross. That is why the first and the last brings his resurrection for you. He wants you to have that life, to have it abundantly. And his life is given to you. Here in this very word you are hearing today, poured on you in your baptism, given to you in the holy supper of his body and blood. For where there is forgiveness of sins, there is also life and salvation. All this is yours. Believe what Jesus says. He wants you to hear and to trust him. God grant you such faith always. In Jesus' name, amen. And glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.